How's everybody doing? I just want to say we had such a fun service on Easter Sunday, and it was just great. I don't know if you were, the staff, we were all just totally stoked, so went above and beyond. So many people responded, and we're just praying for them and reminding folks that really Encounter Church is about helping people have an encounter with God. You know, that's our fundamental, most important thing, is that people will have an encounter with God. And I just want to remind you all that if you did sign up at 10:30 after this service, that we're going to have a special workshop on how to grow in your spirituality. So if you're registered for that, go ahead and don't forget about that, because they will be providing you lunch. And lunch is a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. That you know, there's an old joke that where two or three are gathered in my name, their brownies shall be. Anybody ever? It's all right. It's important to get to heaven to bring a covered dish. There's a covered dish in heaven. That's not as funny as the two or three, is it? So, I think it's interesting how we bring into our Christianity a lot of stereotypes and traditions and presuppositions and stuff that may or may not be biblical, but it's stuff that we all bring. And I want to really talk about some of the stuff we bring with us into our faith. And I want to begin by just really starting with this statement that being born again means much more than just going to heaven. It means much, much more than going to heaven. Now, going to heaven is important. Can I get an amen in this house? You know, it beats the alternative in just so many different ways. I mean, it's important for us to understand that we obtain by grace this righteousness that God wants us to experience, to walk in, to be a part of it. And it's hugely important. But when Christ came to Calvary, he came to bring us life and life more abundantly, not just eternal salvation. He came to bring us a new relationship with God as sons and daughters. I mean, sons and daughters of God, we are inheritors along with Christ of a very special relationship with God, a familial relationship. Jesus came to bring us a new family. I mean, you know, some of us, you know, our families are great, and some of us, our families are, and most of us are somewhere in between. I mean, we got good and bad, but regardless of that, regardless of our background, regardless of our ethnicity, when we become Christians, we could become part of this global community of faith that is the body of Christ, and it's beautiful and diverse and amazing. I mean, the food in the body of Christ is so much better than the food in our hometowns. My mother made amazing bean soup and cornbread. Love bean soup and cornbread. But I thank Jesus every morning for green chili. We didn't have green chili where I grew up. I didn't know what an avocado was. I looked at, what is that thing? I never had a bagel till I was 22. Poor me. All right. I mean, but that diversity is a beautiful thing, and we're part of that. We have a new covenant. A new covenant with God, an ironclad agreement that God says he will never break. He says that the rights of the righteous are ours. And I'll let you chew on that. I'm going to talk more about that in the weeks to come, but we have a new eternity. We need not fear death. We don't have to be afraid to die. All of us are going to die. Don't split hairs with me, Jimmy. Now, Jimmy's up here. Unless the rapture comes. Thank you, Jimmy. There has to be one in every crowd. Got to be one in every crowd, Jimmy, and today it's you. No, it's all right. The point is we all die. Every single person here. And so we don't need to be afraid of death, because Christ has brought us an eternity. We're going to live forever. So the issue is not how long we live. The issue is how we live. And we have a new future. Whatever path you were on, by God's grace, Jesus has a different future for you. You may have been headed into a self-destructive spiral of just darkness. You may have been headed into an oblivion of just pointless pursuits and ridiculous achievements that have no substantive value. You may have been wasting your life pursuing things that you thought were important, but really in the eternal evaluation are simply ridiculous. And Jesus came to give your life significance and purpose and to bring an abundance of love, joy, peace, patience, and all of those things into us. And that is the fullness of salvation that Christ died for us to bring. Grace is not just for salvation, as I say. And this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. But in order to experience that new life, we have to walk in a revelation of truth, laying aside some assumptions and mythologies and flat-out mistakes of things that we believed prior to becoming Christians. And some of us continue to believe those things even after we're a Christian. And at some point, God has to come in and revise the truth that we believe so we can experience the life that Jesus died for us to have. And so I ask you this morning to join with me in an exploration of some things that you may believe are true about you, but they're absolutely untrue. And they are holding you back from experiencing the freedom and the blessings that God wants you to have. See, there's things that anchor us into our old way of living, behaviors, routines, relationships. But one of the most important things that anchors us in our old lifestyle, our old way of living, the dead life that we really try to so desperately at times to walk away from, is we've got to let God rewrite the narrative of how we label who and what we are. When you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, what do you see? When you describe yourself to other people, what words do you use? When you think about yourself, how do you describe yourself? Even if you don't share that description with anybody else, what are the words, the adjectives, the descriptors, the labels, if I could use that, that you apply to yourself to describe yourself to you? Because the label that you should be using is blessed and beloved child of God. That's the only label you should apply to yourself when you describe yourself to anybody else. You should say, what are you? I'm a blessed and beloved child of God. Because if you don't understand that reality, the rest of it's just white noise. We've got to walk in that revelation that we are not what we were. The moment we give our life to Christ, we become this blessed and beloved child of God. And we've got to renew our minds to that reality, because that will set us free. But you know something? That's not how most people describe themselves. Most people describe or define themselves by the events that have occurred in their lives. This happened to me, therefore I am this. By the activities they engage in. I do this vocationally, recreationally, in secret. I do this, therefore I am this. I had these successes. I had these failures. But I want to say this. We are not what has happened to us, the mistakes we've made, or the successes we have achieved. Who we are is who God says we are, which is the beloved and the blessed children of God. But to become that, we've got to be willing to let go of the old labels from our past, and to encourage us this morning that this is possible, because sometimes it's tough to relabel yourself. Sometimes we've been something so long in our own eyes, it's tough to cast that down. But I want you to know that however you have labeled yourself in the past, you can lay it down this morning. And you can walk in a fresh revelation of becoming a blessed and beloved child of God. What are some of the labels that people apply? This is maybe the most universal label. It's the label of victim. If you go to the Bible and you're looking for somebody to describe a victim, probably the most obvious example would be a guy named Joseph. You guys know who Joseph was? Jacob's son, one of 12. You talk about a dysfunctional family. Anybody here have one of your brothers sell you into slavery? Just looking for some hands. I don't know what Christmas was like. Actually, they didn't have Christmas. They didn't have Passover either. I don't know what they had. Whatever holiday they celebrated there. You know, the family unit was broken. But not only did he get sold into slavery, he was sold to a man whose wife tried to seduce him. And he, being a good young man, said no. She responded by accusing him of rape. So he goes to prison, where he befriends some guys thinking they can help him. But his friends forget about him. Man, I'm a victim. Big capital V. No one in the entire history of the world had more right to claim the label of victim than Joseph. But that's not the label that Joseph applied to himself. Joseph knew that he had a relationship with God, and because he had a relationship with God, God would never abandon him or leave him. In fact, Joseph stayed strong in faith and stayed strong in character and eventually was delivered from his whole problem. And the very brothers who sought to sell him away so that he would just be out of their life forever came to him one day begging for food that their families may eat. They didn't recognize Joseph at first, but when they finally did recognize their brother, they were afraid. They thought, oh my gosh, this guy is going to destroy us. And this is what Joseph said to him. He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good, for he brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. That's not a victim who wrote that. The guy that wrote that said, you know who I am? I am in a covenant relationship with the creator of the universe. And how much more should we be able to lay aside that label of victim and embrace the label of beloved and blessed child of God? We don't have to punish the people who hurt us. We don't have to limit our futures because people abused us. We don't have to look at our ethnicity or our financial background and say that means that we have to settle for second-class citizenship because we are the beloved and the blessed children of God. And all that heaven has for us is available to all that heaven has is available to us. Not because of what we've done, but because of whose we are. Now that's an important truth to walk in. We got to lay down that label of victimhood. You know, I have a friend who was a victim of a mass shooting. He almost died. Two of his children were killed in this shooting. And I've had coffee with him multiple times, and I've asked him, because we are friends, I've said, you know, what's the most important advice you could give to anybody who'd ever gone through a similar situation, although I pray no one ever would go through such a tragic and horrific event? And he said, don't define yourself by the tragedy in your life. Don't define yourself. He said, I am a victim of a mass shooting. Yes, my daughters were murdered by a crazy man, but I am not defined by that event, as tragic and as life transforming as that event was. I am much, much more than that. I'm a beloved and blessed child of God, because if I park myself there, I'll never walk out of that ditch. I can't afford it. You can't afford this morning to continue to carry the label of victim. You can't afford to do it. God has so much more for you than that. It may be justified, it may be perfectly understandable, but I'm asking you to lay it down and embrace the label of beloved child of God. I think in the Bible, in the New Testament particularly, about the early church and what an interesting, diverse community it was. You had Orthodox Jews who came to saving knowledge of Christ, sitting down and breaking bread with temple prostitutes, male and female. You got adulterers, adulteresses. You got thieves, and you got pagans, all coming together in this collection of people. And you wonder, you know, man, some interesting covered dishes in the first century, you know. I won't go down that too, but you can think the temple prostitute by the mayor of the town who had visited it and hadn't really told anybody. And it just, I wonder if they ever talked about those things. Just curious. But how about for us? How often do we label ourselves because of our temptations, the things that we struggle with? I struggle with this, somebody would say, therefore I am that. Whatever it may be, maybe a sexual issue, maybe an addictive issue, maybe an anger issue. But I want to tell you something, you are not defined by your temptations. You're not defined by your temptations. There's an amazing man of God from the UK who had grown up and struggled with, struggle's wrong, he didn't really struggle with it, he embraced it. He had a same-sex attraction. He was a practicing homosexual for many, many years. And yet his sexuality did not lead to a particularly healthy lifestyle, and he came to a saving knowledge of Christ. And they ask him, you know, because he's now, you know, a very powerful man of God, there's no other adjective, he's not ashamed of his past, but he said, I refuse to be labeled by my sexual attraction. I refuse to define myself by something as trivial as that. I'm so much more than that. I'm a beloved and blessed child of God. And once I could walk in that revelation, well, I could walk free of a lot of revelations, of some legitimate issues that were his. He said some legitimate issues. And praise God, he found a church that was warm and welcoming and accepting of him to allow him to work out his salvation the way all of us are trying to work out our salvation. Amen? Just want to say this. This is a sidebar. It has nothing to do with the message, but you don't get brownie points because you're not tempted in a particular sin. I've never been attracted to a man. I don't know what it's like to deal with that. I really don't. I don't know how hard that is. I have been attracted to some other stuff. I know how hard it is to deal with that. So maybe my temptations and my issues could give me some compassion instead of judgment for other people. Just a thought. Just want to throw it out there. How would you like to deal with that particular issue? I wouldn't. How about we have a little compassion? Just saying. You can write me emails. It is reeseb@ecdenver.org. People do. I don't mind. I encourage it. I don't mind having conversations. But think of some other people in the Bible. What about crazy Mary Magdalene? Crazy Mary Magdalene. Now, Luke 8 says that she was full of demons that Jesus had driven out. But if you met a person full of demons, would they strike you as the kind of dinner guest that you would invite over in the evening? Can you imagine we're sitting around thinking, hey, let's go out to the horse races today. Who would you like to go with? Let's invite crazy Mary Magdalene. I think she was probably ostracized and rejected her entire life. I think she was one of those people that saw herself as an outsider, not welcomed into the community of faith. Somebody who had to live with rejection all of her life. And when she got born again and delivered, I wonder how easy it was for her to walk free of that label of outsider, crazy Mary Magdalene. When she first went to a church, was she struggling with, man, I wonder if they'll accept me. I wonder if they want to talk to me. No one ever wants to talk to me. I'm an outsider. Do you know churches all over America are full of people who've suffered rejection? They've been rejected. They were the people in school that nobody wanted to play with. Yeah, you do know that feeling, Jimmy. You do. They were the people that didn't understand how to dance. So when you went to the high school dance, people pointed and made fun of you. A little transparency there. That's why I only danced when I'd been drinking, which didn't help. Didn't help at all. It was a terrifying thing. Somewhere, I'm so glad they didn't have phones in my adolescence. Can you imagine, you know, the social media of me? Terrifying thought. You have those things. You can't do this stuff. They're the people who couldn't throw a ball, or the people who weren't good at sports, or the people, whatever. They were always on the outside. And they get saved and they come to church, and that rejection and that feeling of being an outsider continues to plague them because they've never shed that label. And this morning, I want to let you know Jesus wants you to shed that label. You need to stop seeing yourself as an outsider and start seeing yourself as a beloved and blessed child of God. What about Zacchaeus the wealthy? Zacchaeus was a tax collector in Jericho, one of the most influential men, historians say, in that community, given the position that he had. Said that he abandoned living as a Jew so that he could go work for the Romans because he wanted to be influential and successful. And we all know that being influential and successful is important, right? It's important. I mean, this is America. I mean, you are what you drive. Come on, your address defines your sense of how... I don't even say that. Because we all know what I'm talking about. Materialism is rampant in this nation, and all materialism is a bunch of people pursuing something that doesn't matter to spend it on stuff that's a waste of time, when what God says is that wealth and his blessings are simply instruments of his influence and love in our generation. See, I don't believe God wants you broke. In fact, I believe that God wants just the opposite. He wants you out of debt and living a blessed life. He does. But he does so for a purpose, to further the kingdom of God and to bring glory to his name. I love what Paul wrote to the church of Timothy's, and he was instructing young Timothy. He says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their what money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Isn't that a beautiful promise from the Lord? That God doesn't want you broke. Poverty is not more righteous than wealth. It's not. Trust me, I've been broke. I didn't feel particularly righteous. Didn't help me with my temptations. Didn't help with anything else. And when I got out of debt, it was a glorious feeling. And I gave honor to God. There was a man that used to be a part of our church. Joe, you may remember. Vince Evans played quarterback in a number of different places. Vince was a NFL quarterback, and he attended Happy Church for about a year and had a beautiful 911 Porsche, and the license plate said tither. Which I thought was really cool, you know. I just thought that was cool. Tither, you know. It's just like, that's who I am. You know who gave me that? My daddy gave me that, because I'm a beloved and blessed child of God. And I understand the purpose for money. So money does not control me. I control money. But you know, it's not just pursuing money that can distort us. We don't have to wear that label of wealthy in order to walk around and feel good about ourselves. Sometimes we like to practice good deeds so we can wear the title righteous. Now, is there anything wrong with good deeds? There's nothing wrong with good deeds, but it's interesting. This is what Paul said about good deeds to the church in Philippi. He said, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Now, does that mean we shouldn't practice good deeds? No, we should, because it's an expression of love. But this is, I just give you a little transparency. This is every preacher's greatest weakness, that we feel good about us based on how you respond to what we do. If a whole lot of people answered the altar call, then we have value. If nobody answers the altar call, then we are worthless. If people tell us we did a good job, then we say, oh, that means that God is pleased with me. And if 14 emails show up in my file on Monday morning declaring me a heretical, apostate, evil human being, it means that my value has been diminished. My seminary professor referred to it as cookies. When people give us our cookies, our donuts, we feel good about ourselves. But when we don't get the cookies or the donuts, we feel we have no importance at all in the kingdom of God. Now, that's what pastors do. But how many of you have an analogous issue that if you read your Bible, then somehow God listens to my prayers? If I attend church faithfully, which you should. Just saying. If I attend church faithfully, then I know that the Lord will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing such that there will not be room enough to contain it. But if I don't go to church, then all I can expect is judgment and wrath. God doesn't do good things in your life because you read the Bible and because you go to church. He does good things in your life because he loves you and he cares for you. Now, reading your Bible and going to church will build your faith, which may help you to believe that God will do good things in your life because he loves you and he cares about you. And you should do those things. But they're not because of those things. And so we have to lay down this self-righteous label so that we can embrace a new label. And the new label is simply this: beloved and blessed child of God. That's who you are. Sharon, you got that? You got that? What about the folks in the back row? Wake up the guy beside you who's sleeping, will you? You know, that was mean. I saw that. You've got to begin to walk in that revelation of being a beloved and blessed child of God. And so that brings us to the end of the message, and it brings us to this question. Are we willing to let go of our old defining labels? Are you willing to quit calling yourself a victim, even though you've been victimized? Or are you willing to do that? Will you stop defining who you are by the temptations that you struggle with? You've got them. So do I. But I don't define myself by those things. I define myself in my better moments by what God says about me. Are we willing to let go of the labels that we pursue, like rebel and outsider? Will we quit worrying about what kind of car we drive or what address we live at? Whether we have a green card or a gold card or a platinum card or is it a plum card? What? There's one beyond platinum now. Well, what's black? Well, yeah, thank you. So you don't have one? Do you want one?
No.
No, that's all right. I haven't quite figured out. You know, I carried a platinum card for years because I thought it made me look cool. And then I read the rules, and everything I needed was covered by the free green card, where I was paying $400 a year for the right to carry the platinum card. And I remember going, how much money? And it was like thousands of dollars that I had spent to be important to myself. And I traded in the platinum card for the green card because it was stupid. And I was already a blessed child of God, so what did I need the platinum card for? And are we willing to stop trying to somehow earn God's affection? I mean, for the love of Pete, how many years do we got to do this before we realize that, dude, it's yours? When he said you were his blessed and beloved child, it wasn't conditional. My children are my children no matter what they do. They are. Sometimes they're almost my dead children, but that's a whole different issue. It's about my own. I mean, what could they do to stop being my child? Nothing. Should they ever be afraid that I would stop looking at them as a child? I hope not. I hope I'm a better man than that. And so are we willing to let go of the labels that define us so that we can embrace the only label that really matters, which is blessed and beloved child of God? So I ask you, if you would, please just close your eyes for a moment. And if you've got some labels in your life that you've been struggling with, maybe they refer to your affections, maybe they refer to your past hurts. Doesn't matter what they refer to. Things that you really just struggle letting go of. And you just say, that's me, Pastor. I won't be calling you forward, but I am asking you to respond. Would you just raise your hands right now and say, that's me. That's me. I see these hands all over the place. That's so good of you to do that. That is so good of you to do that. That is so good of you. Some others would like to join these folks. Some others would like to join these folks. All right. Thank you. Thank you. You can put those hands down. All right. I'm going to pray into that first. Father, sometimes we can't pick up a new label until we let go of an old one. And so I just pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. I just pray, God, that we could lay down the lies that we say about ourselves, the lies that say that we're just victims, and that's all we'll ever be, that we're promiscuous, and that's all we'll ever be, that we have to have money or we don't have anything, that if I don't do all these religious works that it doesn't matter, and that whatever they may be, God, I just pray that we can lay down those labels. I just pray we can lay those labels down. God, give them the grace to do that, because grace is so much more than just salvation. You know, there's another part to this prayer, though. Sometimes we don't necessarily define ourselves by those old labels, but we still struggle with walking in a revelation that we are blessed and beloved children of God. We just don't feel worthy of that, or we don't feel, you know, that God is close, or somehow we just don't feel that we are that good. And yet God looked at us and said, we're righteous. And I'll freely admit that this is something that I struggle with, is walking in that revelation that I am a blessed and beloved child of God 24/7. Some days I feel that way, other days I just don't. And if you're like me and you say, you know, I just struggle with accepting that new label, would you just slip your hand up right now and say, that's me. I struggle with accepting that new label all around the room. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, folks. So God, I pray for my friends who raised their hands and those who didn't, because, you know, I'll be honest, God, there's a whole lot of people in this room that I've known them long enough to know that they struggle with this even if they don't admit it, which I don't want people to do. I don't want us to walk in ignorance. I don't want us to walk in ignorance, because walking in ignorance doesn't set you free. But being aware of the labels that we struggle to embrace is an issue. And so, God, I pray for myself and for everyone in this room that just struggles to walk in the reality of what it means to be a blessed and beloved child of God. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this is part one of a multiple part series, at least two. It may go longer, I haven't decided yet. But this is so critical to us living the abundant life that Christ has for us. So I just want to encourage you, if you know of somebody that this would apply to, have them go to our YouTube channel and just watch it there, or go to our Facebook page. If you're watching online and this really touched you, please make a point to tune in next week or join us next week. We want you to know that God has good things for you. Sarah is speaking this Wednesday. She's just been on this incredible series about conversations with God. It's just rich. It's amazingly rich. And so I encourage you to be here this Wednesday. But may the Lord bless and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. May you walk in a revelation of the incredible power of His love for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go with God and be nice to each other as you leave.